Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and I'm running late. Tommy's sitting over there, and what's on the show this week?
We got a lot of stuff. We got some catch up to do because it's been a couple weeks since we had a show. So we've got news from Microsoft about some DRM issues, which is something you hate to be talking about in 2022, but here we are. News from Nintendo about next-gen console and what that may look like. News for the summer of gaming and when stuff is happening, because we now know stuff is happening, so we'll talk about that. And this is news of a game that has been delayed. And spoiler alert, it's Starfield. Starfield's been delayed.
surprise!
We will talk about that as well because it's worth talking about. But the least surprising news story I think we've ever had on Gaming Uncensored is that Starfield is not going to come out this November.
Just out of curiosity, how was my Gomer Pyle right there?
It was very nice.
I like that.
Aging yourself still.
If you're not old enough to know who Gomer Pyle is, Google that crap.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to see Ron Howard in his original part. I don't know how old I was when I learned that was Ron Howard. Like, I had seen, the Andy Griffith Show. I had known who Ron Howard was as a director. But I was well into my adult life before I put those two things together.
I bet I was 20 years old, probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
it's kind of one of those.
Maybe we're blowing somebody's mind right now. So
yeah. Here's the thing. The Andy Griffith Show is on in my house regularly. Okay. That's a daily occurrence in my house. I can say that without offending my father because it's the thing that he watches.
Yeah.
And I said the other day, if Ron Howard only knew that all of his accomplishments, everything that he'd ever done, all of the great things that he's ever made, and let's face it, he's a very talented dude.
Yes.
But if he would have known that his whole life, the biggest thing about Ron Howard would be being Opie Taylor,
yep,
he probably would have just quit and said, I give up. Because, that's his biggest deal. I mean,
it depends on who you are. Because, again, I had no clue that he was Opie until I was, well into my 20s. I don't know when I found that out. And so, I knew Ron Howard as a director. And so, for a lot of people, I'm sure they didn't know otherwise. So,
well,
apparently we're going to get a little guest here real quick.
I see that.
Can you say
hi? She's cute. I like that.
She's about to go to gymnastics. Babe.
Gymnastics! Can you do a somersault?
Do you know how to do a somersault?
Yeah.
You do?
You just got busted, didn't you?
Actually. No.
I saw that look on your face. I was like, oh, I got busted! There's mom with the book shirt. I like the book shirt.
Mommy.
Yeah. Have you been playing any games, Genevieve?
I see Daddy playing Horizon one time.
Yeah. Did you play some Little Big Planet?
Oh, yeah. and I had a different outfit. My wonder with something.
Yeah. I got her into a little bit of Little Big Planet the other day, so.
I loved it.
You loved it. It's
yeah, and
great.
We go down the boat and
yeah, we're going to have to play some more of that, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Did you make her a sock girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to work on it, so she needs a makeover, probably, doesn't she?
What a makeover?
Yeah.
You know what a makeover is. You talk about makeovers all the time.
Change your clothes.
So do that.
Okay. We'll see y'all later.
Bye,
Jamie. Bye, Jamie.
Bye.
Patreon viewers.
You're adorable. Yes.
Have fun at gymnastics. You gotta go with mama. See you soon.
I'll see you later.
Good times.
Have we mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, that little girl loves her daddy?
It is true. Which I appreciate. And a good time for the plug here. If you would like to see her and all of her cuteness, go support us on Patreon. Thanks to Cabin Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad. Excuse me. Got too many of them. I got tongue-tied. Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, and Leek. We appreciate your support. One of the benefits you get is getting to see the little girl when she breaks into the room, as she just did. So.
Real quick, I have to tell a quick story because I called your house last night, which I never do, but I had a bit of an emergency.
Yep.
And so I called your house, and the first thought that I had was, oh, crap, I know what time it is. We're trying to get a little girl down. I got to make this quick. That's when you know. Somebody rules your world when you have another person that knows you looking at the time going, okay, there's a little girl somewhere that needs her daddy.
Yep. Yeah. No.
So
that's fair. Go by gamingandsister.com. Support us on Patreon. We'd appreciate it a ton. So there you go. So
yes, we would.
All that said, we were talking about something. I have no clue. Oh, we were talking about Ron Howard. My favorite thing. I was about to say, we got to move on. But I got to say now, my favorite thing that Ron Howard has ever done for me personally is as the narrator of Arrested Development. Just the absolute best part of Ron Howard.
Yeah.
To me, again, it's not what he's like. He's this incredibly talented filmmaker. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the voice from Arrested Development and the kid from the Andy Griffith Show. That's Ron Howard to me, which I'm sure just kills him inside. But he seems like the coolest dude too, just like this super like chill, laid back, like just whatever dude. He probably loves it that people recognize him from those two things more than anything else. So
I think it would be fine except walking down the street and somebody being like, hey, help me. you know that happens.
Has to, but yeah. I just wanted to narrate my life. It's amazing. So anyway, that said, we are a gaming podcast, and we're going to, I imagine, talk about some games at some point. We should talk about what we've been playing, at least very briefly here, because we've talked about it a ton. Unless you've played anything else, about all I've done is Horizon, which I've been able to get back into it. And so I've got to put some time into it the past week or so, which has been nice.
I was theoretically caught up. I saw you drain Vegas.
Nice.
So yeah, you're right there. That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
By the way, like getting to explore the ruins of Las Vegas and like underwater, whatever, like that was pretty fun. That was a cool part of the game.
My only quibble was when she first got there and said, oh, this must be Las Vegas. I'm like, how does Aloy know Las Vegas?
It's
other than that, I got no problem.
I mean, it's not like they don't have any sense of the history of, you know, the world that they live in, you know, like
That's true.
And especially Aloy. She's kind of unique in her kind of perspective into, you know, the old world and what used to be. And so, yeah. But the kind of, yeah, how matter of fact the whole thing is a little bit like, you would think these people would be more impressed. But like the little group of scavengers that are there that are finding the little orbs to make all the cool light show stuff. And the fact that they're just so enamored by it. I love that part of it. You know, that like there's this they're still trying to hold on to like the mystic nature of like Las Vegas, which if you've ever been to Las Vegas, like it's just this absurd place, right? Like it's just ridiculous in a lot of really fun and entertaining ways, but it's just so kitschy and over the top and ridiculous. And to see it portrayed in this kind of very romanticized way is really fun. I thought they did a really good job with that.
Those Delvers are my new favorite people.
Yes.
They're really cool. I dig the entire thing. I really do.
Yeah, I do, too. I'll mention this here because I thought it was a clever insight that I made on our Facebook page. We can plug for the Facebook page here. Go over to Facebook, find the Gaming Uncensored group over there. But in a comment to Sam, I mentioned something a little while ago about how the side quests are what's really fun in the game, right? The main story's fine, but we've talked about it a little bit before. It's nothing special. It's just kind of is and whatever. But to me, I think my main issue with the main storyline in Horizon is that it's this very existential threat. Like there's these people coming to destroy the world, essentially, right? They showed up from this and given a little bit away here, but we're so far behind. Everybody has played it enough at this point. It's nothing super spoilery, right. But have come from like this distant planet back to Earth. These people that left Earth 1,000 years ago have come back and whatever and want to destroy civilization for whatever means that they're trying to figure out, resource harvest, whatever. And that like that's an imminent threat, right? Like the whole world of people that currently live on planet Earth are at threat of extinction from this group of people that have come back. And at the same time, like you could just spend all your time like wandering around and like solving little quibbles for people. And I love that part of it. Like, that's my favorite thing to do is just a little like, hey, let's go, you know, like help these Delvers find the orbs was way more entertaining to me than going and getting Poseidon. Right. Right? Like that was the part I cared about that whole little quest line, because I care about those little characters and the little stories that are way more interesting to me than this big existential story. That does it. This is where the pacing, I'd seen people complain about the pacing of it. And I finally get it because there's just no urgency to prevent the imminent, destruction of the society as it exists on this planet. And you're just like, oh yeah, I could just go and like work on these like feuds between these two Tignoth camps, whatever, you know, like I could try to like solve these issues or whatever. I can go help somebody who's lost a family member. I can do all these things while like also, oh yeah, the whole Earth is about to be destroyed essentially. And it just like the main story doesn't fit the way that the gameplay kind of plays out. And it's just, you know, makes the main story have a lot less impact at the end of the day to me.
Well, and the Vegas quests so far have been my favorite because it this is so weird to say as a gamer, but it reminds me of New Vegas, Fallout New Vegas.
Sure.
there's a lot of similarities there, a lot of things, and you're walking around in all this sand and all this stuff, and like, it's just really neat. It's a neat area, and I think I'm going to feel the same way when we eventually, maybe before we die, get to San Francisco, right. Which we're going to do. Yeah. I think I'm going to be amazed when I see that bridge and go, hey, I know what that is.
Yes.
That's the best part about this game. What I'm like you, like I don't care that the world is ending.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like to me, it's already over.
Right. Like, yes. It's already post-apocalyptic, you know, like it just, I would have preferred the main story, like, not be so existential, you know, like that, like the survival of humanity rests on what happens here. Like it just doesn't fit with the rest of what the game world is and all that kind of stuff. Like, you could have made a really interesting game that just lives in this world on a much smaller kind of narrative scale that would have told a more interesting story. Which, again, it's a small quibble. It's a fantastic game. We're loving every second of it. But the main story is just kind of meh. And if that's what you're looking for, then this is not going to be probably the most satisfactory thing to you. But if you can get past the fact that the main story is not terrible by any means, just not great, but the gameplay is phenomenal and the rest of the world is fascinating, you're going to love it.
I have this idea that the main story, because it already has gotten better as we go, I think the clone is the most interesting thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's obviously more learned than Aloy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, crap, what am I in the middle of? Like, what did I do? I made this massive mistake. Yeah. And I think it's vastly entertaining. And it, like, I hope that there are more clones. I really do.
You would imagine there will be, I would think.
Because I think that is the most interesting part of the main story so far.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I wish I could tell you that I played something else, but I spend all of my time watching you play video games, which is probably the way that it needs to be.
Yeah.
We are still setting up the new environment. I have a 35-inch monitor sitting in the other room that I haven't taken out of the box, because that's not going to happen until you get here.
Yeah.
We have a new computer on the way,
yeah,
which we're both extraordinarily excited about, and we would geek out, but none of you would really appreciate that.
And so, you'll get to hear it. We're not, it's coming.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of it soon. So
that's all that's going on here. So all of that to say, I'm really happy that you are still playing Horizon and loving it. It's fun to watch. It's a really enjoyable game to watch somebody else play.
Yeah. I could see that. I'm saying that as the person who's playing it, but it's so like, it's such a cool world. It's such a fun world. I could definitely appreciate like the kind of piggyback side of it, of just kind of getting to go along for the ride. So yeah, all that said, you'll hear more about Horizon on the next show, I'm sure. But we should talk about other stuff because everybody's tired of hearing about Horizon at this point. So
we should,
So let's talk about Xbox and their DRM because it had its issues this week. So as we've talked about DRM a lot in the past, this was a big topic for us. Digital rights management, by the way, just in case, because it's not a topic we talk about that much anymore, it might be worth doing a little bit of clarification here. How companies make sure that you actually legitimately own the game that you're trying to play. It's as opposed to it being pirated or whatever else, which in a lot of ways seems ridiculous to me in this age of games, but that's neither here nor there at this point. We'll probably get into that more here in a bit, but what
do you know? Can I just say why it's ridiculous? The reason it's ridiculous, and I'm probably going to get yelled at after I say this, but we all have Steam libraries, right?
Sure.
That's the most ubiquitous thing in the world. I don't know about you, and you can tell me if I'm incorrect. I've never had an issue with Steam.
No.
I've never had Steam say, you can't play this.
Nope.
And so the fact that we're about to talk about a DRM situation right now with Steam being out there is really unacceptable.
It really is. And when we talk about the details of it, it even becomes more unacceptable. Like, it just is bad. It's just really, really bad. So what happened? This happened last week. Appears to be cleaned up at this point, but who knows? And the potential for this issue coming back is not outside the realm of possibilities. But last week, Xbox had several servers that went down, had a big outage of their servers that ended up making it where people could not launch games that they own and have on their consoles. And so you would go to your internet connected console. So it's not even like their internet was down. They are connected to the internet. You would go to your internet connected console. You would go to launch a game that you have paid for, or even you play on Game Pass, because there's no difference there. Let's be, you know, like right. If you're paying for Game Pass, you've got access to those games just the same. And if you have internet access, you should have access to those games. But let's, for the point of this, say, okay, let's take Game Pass out of it because it is a service. Let's just say games that you bought and downloaded. People went to play games that they had bought and downloaded, and their Xbox told them that they couldn't because it could not verify the status of the game because it couldn't connect to the servers. The servers, which were down on Xbox's side, not on the end user's side. It wasn't their internet that was down. It was a server outage on Microsoft's side. So people paid for a game, have it downloaded on their system. Their Xbox can't communicate to the Xbox servers, thus they can't play the game that they paid for and downloaded. And this problem went on for several days with some fixes and then going back to the same issue and whatever, which has obviously gotten a lot of people pretty up in arms about the Xbox DRM system, which obviously is flawed, like pretty clearly here messed up. And so, like you said, we obviously see that this could work. We don't have the same issue on Steam or on PlayStation games or Nintendo games or anywhere else. It seems, at least this specific case, is an Xbox-centric thing because of how they have their DRM. And it's just bad. It's just something that should have happened in 2022.
So, I think I actually experienced this because I accidentally launched Gears of War the other day trying to get something else, and I got the whole... I wasn't in it long enough for it to tell me no, but I got the whole connecting to services thing, and I let it sit there for much longer than it should have taken, and finally said, you know, I'm I got to do other things. I don't have time to play this as much, you know, as much as I would like to play this. I don't have time, so I closed it, but. Again, the fact that this is going on with a game, whether you play it on Game Pass, whether you own it, is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's something that should not happen.
That should not happen. If you have Game Pass and the Game Pass servers go down, that happens. Like, I'm not giving anybody a pass for that. You need to have redundancy built in, all that kind of stuff. But... like, stuff happens. There's weird freak things. And if you participate in any kind of online service that, you know, you have a streaming service or whatever, like, you know that that's a risk. Like, that you might fire up Netflix one day and it doesn't work for half an hour because Netflix servers are having some issue or whatever. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen, and that can happen to Game Pass. But for a game that you bought and downloaded, and that exists as a, you know, physical data on your system, solid state drive, you know, that you are not streaming from the cloud or whatever. Like, those are things that shouldn't be an issue. Like, there's just no excuse for that issue to exist.
And the fact that we're talking, like, I didn't look and didn't know that this was a thing until I saw the show notes today. Right. And so the fact that we're talking about this and that it happened and that I actually experienced it and didn't realize it. I guess my issue is that because this happened, Microsoft should be making a bigger deal about the fact that, hey, this happened and here's what we're going to do for you to fix it. To me, it's like the Red Ring of Death deal.
Yeah,
that happened back in the day. You know, like, we felt like they needed to do some things for some people. And they did, but if I remember right, we felt like they didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
This is another one of those situations that it's like, okay, you need to make a massive mea culpa and figure out how to make this better, because there's people giving you many millions of dollars per year to use your service.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it has to work all the time, because nothing works all the time, but it needs to work like 99.9999% of the time.
Yes.
Period.
And you shouldn't have issues that are this easily preventable. Like, it's an issue that shouldn't exist, because you shouldn't have that level or that type of DRM for games that people have bought and downloaded. You just shouldn't. Like, that's, you're just setting yourself up for that issue. And honestly, like, how much piracy are you preventing at this point with something like that? Right? Like, it's just absurd on the surface. Like, if it needs to check in once a week, once a whatever, like, I'm not in love with those ideas either. But you got to do something so that if your servers go down, people don't lose access to their games. It's just a no-brainer to me. And I bet it's about to be a no-brainer to Microsoft. So we'll see.
So, sorry about this. I'm trying to adjust here. So here's my deal with all of this that is really frustrating to me about the whole thing, and that is that the idea that they don't have redundancies upon redundancies upon redundancies is ridiculous to me. Like, it just is. Like, I can't. I understand a bank of servers going down. I get that. What I don't understand is, are there not like 18 backups?
Right.
For that bank of servers? And I just feel like, you're right, it was entirely preventable, and it's a mistake that, here's the problem, okay? Microsoft is not a gaming company. We've talked about that. They are a company that got into gaming, right?
Fair.
If this were a gaming company, like, they'd be dead. Like, it'd be, like, their bottom line would be destroyed if something like this happened. And, yeah, Microsoft cares. Microsoft has a vested interest to care about issues like this for their gamers. But let's face it, gaming is not the biggest part of the place that Microsoft makes their money. And that may be some of the reason that they're not, I don't know what the word is, because they did react to it. They did say we fixed it, but not to the extent that I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just FYI, because I just Googled it and was curious. This is just top result from The Verge, but just out of curiosity. Microsoft's overall gaming revenue is also up for... Oh, that's not what I thought it was. I was hoping for something a little bit more about how much of the pie it makes up.
And there went my life.
You look fine.
Fantastic.
It's okay. Not bad at all. So, all that to say, yes, you're correct insofar as Microsoft has other things and doesn't approach... like gaming traditionally from the aspect of gaming, but they're as much established a gaming company as anybody else is at this point. Like, they got to know how to do this at this point. Like, y'all got to figure out what makes sense. And Sony's not a gaming company primarily either. Like, the only pure gaming company is Nintendo in the kind of console world.
Right.
Know, like, both Microsoft and Sony make them. Majority, I would imagine, of their revenues off of all their other things that they do, Microsoft especially. It's just a dumb thing. Like, it's just a, like, it's a, what you look like you're doing is placing your kind of corporate safeguards above the quality of experience for your users, hoping that the users never realize it. And then something like this happens and everybody becomes very aware of it.
One more thing. I meant to try and make this point 5 minutes ago and I failed. But piracy at this point should not be a reason to do any kind of DRM. I don't think, because the game and Game Pass notwithstanding. But we talked about when we started this that there are multiple systems that work that don't ever have a problem. That, like, take Steam, for example. If the Steam servers were down, you still have the option to play offline. And I'm sure there's some point that Steam says, okay, you've got to check in, but whatever that point is, I've never seen it. My point is that I understand that DRM has to exist to prevent piracy. I think we all understand that. But it's a dumb reason to have an outage at this point in time. Because the amount of piracy you're stopping is not worth pissing off your actual paying customers for.
Yes.
Like, if you or I want to go steal something today, we could both go steal something in about 10 minutes, and there's pretty good odds that nobody would ever catch up.
Sure.
Right? Like, the I understand DRM, piracy's bad, all of that. We agree with that. You shouldn't pirate games. But if DRM is going to be around, it's like you said, it has to be seamless. We don't need to know that it's even there.
Yeah and that's
that was my point.
Yeah, and that's a perfectly valid point. Like, I don't know, like, if I wanted to go pirate a game on a PC, I bet I could figure that out pretty quickly. I haven't pirated a game in years and years. Both you and I used to pirate games all the time. We've talked about that before on the show.
Yep.
But we don't anymore, because we have money. We can go buy a game if we want to buy a game. That's just not an excuse that we have anymore. And so, and there's just easier access to games, too.
It's not even about having money at this point. We have Patreon, so we have
right. We have your money to buy games with. Yeah. So, but aside from that, I wouldn't have the first clue about how to pirate a game on an Xbox, like, or a PlayStation 5 or a Nintendo Switch. Like, I'm sure there's ways to do it, but the amount of work that you would have to go through to, you know, like, jailbreak's not even the right term, probably, but, you know, like, hack, root your Switch or whatever, or your PlayStation 5 in order to run pirated games on it. Like, that's such a small portion of people who are going to be able to execute that you really are. Like, what you just said, you're putting off paying customers in the attempt to stop a really, really small number of people who may be pirating that game, I would guess. Now, I could be wrong. There could be this big exploit for Xbox consoles that could be pirated, if not for this particular type of DRM, and call me wrong if that's the case. I don't think that probably is. On the PC, it's a different thing, and I understand that, like, just stuff's easier to pirate on a PC. Like, it's an open platform, whereas consoles are not. But with that, I just can't see how there's enough of a risk of piracy on Xbox Series X to justify this type of DRM to stop it. It just doesn't make sense.
The, The other thing is, people can't even buy your console.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I couldn't go find an Xbox Series X if I wanted to, and I want one because now I finally have a space to use it.
Right.
Can't find it. So just to wrap this up again. Another reason you cannot have this happen.
Yeah.
Cannot happen.
Yeah, and I would guess we'll see a change to their policy. I would imagine that this is something that they'll, one of the mea culpa things that they'll do is, here's what we've done to fix this from happening in the future, which will be removing at least a layer of whatever that protection is. So there you go with Microsoft and their fun DRM times. Nintendo, let's talk about Nintendo for just a little bit. A couple of interesting things here. One, this is from the president of Nintendo talking about the kind of future platform, future console for Nintendo. What comes next after the Switch? And essentially saying they're really worried about trying to make something that comes after the Switch because the Switch has been so massively successful. You can read the story over at GamingUncensored.com. So I'm going to try to summarize it as best as possible. But like I said, it basically breaks down to the fact that they have this huge install base with the Switch. The Switch right now is over 100 million plus units out there. Very likely, I think, at this point, but not outside the realm of possibility for sure, will overtake the PlayStation 2 as the best-selling home console. Now there's, you know, Switch is kind of both portable and home console, and so where you kind of classify whatever. This is PlayStation 2 is like 155 million, I think. So Switch is kind of on track to get there at this point. And Nintendo, with the Wii, put out a successor to the Wii in the Wii U that was just a massive flop. Like, Wii, massively successful, Wii U, not. And they just did a bad job of having a successor to that console, which gave us the Switch, which is a completely different kind of console, which, again, obviously has been hugely successful. So totally get where they have a lot of concern with that. And so on that thought, not outside of the expectations of why they would be worried about it, the question then becomes to me is, how long can they maintain the Switch without having some sort of upgrade to it? And do we get Switch Plus, Switch Pro, something that's beefier specifically for Breath of the Wild 2? I think that's when everybody would expect something new hardware wise to come out. Can they make that kind of incremental shift up as opposed to putting out a whole new console?
The thing that it immediately came to my mind as you were talking about that, and we know about this as Mac users, we don't own one because they're too expensive and we're not rich, but the Mac has an eGPU that you can like literally plug into the thing, and it does some things really, really well. It's essentially an external GPU, so if you need more graphics, there they are.
Yeah.
And I could see Nintendo doing that in the vein of a Sega CD or 32X or
sure,
whatever. And the reason that Sega comes to mind is they're the only ones that ever tried it. But if somebody were going to pull it off, I feel like Nintendo could pull it off.
Yeah.
Because I think the biggest mistake they could make is if you don't know what you want to do, if you don't have a direction for the next Switch or Switch 2.0 or whatever, you think the Wii U was a massive flop? If you don't do that right, you got a problem. And I think the thing that makes it hard is that I don't know if you and I know, or the average person knows, what would be constituted as next gen at this point.
Yes.
Okay, like the PS5 is next gen. But let's be honest, there's only like two pieces of next gen software out there for the PS5.
Yes.
Two. And we're two years in.
Yeah.
And the Xbox Series X is even worse.
Yeah.
Like, I think the issue here is that nobody has really any concept of what Next Gen is or how to get there, or and we're past the point of just throw more power at it.
Yes.
Right?
For sure. Like, and to be clear, what current gen is, because PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X is current gen. There's nothing that's taking advantage of the current generation of hardware.
Right.
Everything is previous gen feeling at this point, which I think does...
Except for Ratchet and Clank and a couple of other small examples.
Maybe, yeah. Like, Ratchet and Clank's really still about it, you know? Like, Horizon's not. Horizon looks better on a PlayStation 5 than it does on a PlayStation 4, but it's a game you can play on PlayStation 4. It's not purely next-gen. It doesn't behave, you know, or current-gen, whatever. There's very, very few of those things. Maybe more of those we'll get into here in a little bit if we get to it in the show notes. We'll see. But for right now, yeah, it should just... That just we aren't taking advantage of the hardware that we have, which I do think is beneficial to Nintendo because they can continue to compete without having to compete with the top end of the hardware or even have to be close to it because Microsoft and Sony aren't taking advantage of the hardware. That only to me lasts for so long. At some point that catches up to you, but I don't think that point soon. And let's be real honest, the best games on the Switch, aside from Breath of the Wild, which again is a 5-year-old game at this point, don't really even like push the Switch's like prowess, you know? Like, I mean, some of them do, but you don't have to have those games look phenomenal for them to be great. Like, I want better upscaling, I want better resolution when the things dock. Like, there's a few things like it can do better, but it doesn't have to. It's not at a point yet where it is being forced to compete with what Horizon looks like or whatever, because they just do different games. Kirby doesn't need to look like that. Kirby's been a big success for Nintendo. Like, it doesn't have to push anything. It could look good. It could look very sleek and artistic and everything else without having to have the meat, the power of a Series X or a PlayStation 5. And Nintendo can ride that for a long time.
But here's the issue that I see. People have been asking, begging, since we were kids and enjoying E3 to get a PlayStation 5 look from Nintendo. Like, every couple of years, somebody still brings out that Zelda demo of realistic-looking Link and Ganon and... Like, that's still a thing, and it's still floating around. And there's people talking about what if. And I think the issue is, and I think it's going to get worse with the state of the world the way it is, but NVIDIA can't even sell top-end GPUs. You can't. They have these GPUs that are fantastic, but the normal person can't afford them because everything's crazy.
Yeah, that,
right?
And let me throw in the next story here because it ties right into that. Nintendo sales forecasts have dipped simply because of the chip shortage. Like, they just can't keep up with demand because of chip access. And if you're trying to put out a new console, you obviously need new chips for that whenever we have this huge, like, backlog right now of semiconductor parts. Like, you're just kind of in a position where you gotta go with what you got, and maybe they give us a Switch Pro, but I can't imagine them doing anything more than that in the near to medium future. Like, there's not a new Nintendo console on the horizon. I would be shocked.
Can we talk about Apple for a second? Because I'm going to do something that I wanted to do on this show for a couple of weeks. And I haven't found a reason to do that. But I think I'm going to throw it in here now because I think it's valid in that there's a new Apple desktop out. And it's a consumer-level Apple desktop. And along with that, they released a display that goes with it and said, oh, look how fabulous this display is. And people got it and they plugged it in and they realized that it's a bad display for a big portion of that. The reason it's a bad display is because it's built with like 4-year-old tech.
Yeah.
right? Like, the new display is not good because it's got 40-year-old tech in it.
Yeah.
You can't, like, my point is you have to be, if you choose to release anything, you have to be extraordinarily careful how you do it, because if you don't, it's going to blow up in your face. And at the further that we get along in this implosion of the world, as we sit and watch,
right.
I don't think it's going to get better. Like, I don't think people are going to have more disposable income. Like, you have a good job. I have several reasonable jobs. but even us, in the situation that we're in, it's going to get to a point where we really start to feel the grocery bill going up. I know you already feel it. You go to United and everything's going up, and it is what it is. And you know that a good portion of the world is not us.
Sure.
And so if you, I say all of that to say that if you are Nintendo and you try to release something that's just sort of meh, people don't have money to even try it right at this point. So
yeah,
you have to be really careful.
Yeah. The idea of any like new, like competing with PlayStation 5 Series X from Nintendo is just like unthinkable to me, which means we'll probably get an announcement this summer of like whatever Nintendo is doing next and be like, what the crap, Nintendo. But it does seem very, very unlikely. And then we'll see. To me, still the best chance of any kind of new Nintendo hardware, be it the Switch Pro, which I think is the most likely thing, is to correspond with the launch of Breath of the Wild 2, which has been pushed to next year, along with tons of other stuff. Theoretically, we'll see what we get next year. But I could see that happening. If that's happening, it's not going to be announced till later this year at the absolute earliest, which kind of leads me to wonder what Nintendo's kind of plans for the summer are. If they're going to announce anything, if they've got stuff that they're working on or whatever, like we already kind of know what they are, but a Nintendo Direct this summer that would like blow our minds would be Metroid Prime 4 and, new standalone Mario title or whatever, you know, like those are the things that they could be working on that will be big news. Hardware's not going to be it.
I don't know if you realize, I know you have because you're playing more games than I am, but I'm looking around going, hey, there's not that many new games right now, and there's not going to be that many new games for a while. Yeah. And we've been talking about this E3 lull, and kind of that happens every year.
Yeah.
Well,
sans E3, but more, yeah.
It's more than the E3 lull at this point.
Yeah. Let me mention here. I'll come back. Well, let me throw in a couple of things really quick. I'll mention the things that are happening this summer because that ties into what we're talking about. Then I'll mention the game delay. We'll talk about that for a little bit too. Those are all kind of right here. So really quick, Summer Game Fest, which is Jeff Keighley, his thing that's going to be as close to E3 as we get this year. The first event of that, the kind of first big kind of kickoff thing, has been announced for June 9th. And so kind of right around when E3 would typically take place. It is billed as a live cross-industry showcase of announcements and games hosted by Jeff Keighley. And so that's happening. We know that's happening. And that'll probably be newsworthy. And we'll see some fun announcements there. Jeff is really good about securing fun announcements and doing some good stuff there. And so we'll see a couple of cool, interesting things from that, I would imagine. And then Microsoft has announced that they will be doing an Xbox and Bethesda showcase on June 12th at the same time that they would typically do for E3. And so they're doing essentially their same showcase that they would do anyway, even if E3 was happening at the same time that they would have. And so we will see that then. Big question there is, do we see gameplay of Starfield? We already know Starfield not coming until next year now. Definitely not
coming in November, which if it were coming in November, they didn't show gameplay at that point, I'd be, you know, obviously convinced it wasn't coming. We already know it's not. But still, I think you got to show at least something of that. If you're going to make a deal out of that June 12th date, they've got to show us Starfield. So those are the two things we know are happening in place of what would have been E3 at this point. And so we will see what kind of news we get from those. I imagine the Xbox and Bethesda one will be pretty good because it always is. I'm curious to see what Jeff does, but being Jeff, I'd imagine that's pretty good and newsy too. All that said, we know Starfield's not coming this year. We also know Redfall, which was that other new Bethesda title that's coming from Arkane. Is it coming this year? Either is supposed to come out this summer, kind of, you know, Dishonored-ish styled or Deathloop-ish style or whatever. That I wasn't really into already, but just isn't coming till next year. Which leaves kind of a big hole for Microsoft this year. Like, what other games does Microsoft have coming? Like, they have the service platform. They have Game Pass. And so that keeps them strong in kind of their position gaming-wise. But just first party, like, Microsoft doesn't really have much happening the rest of this year. And that was probably a big hit to them when they made that decision, which I imagine was the right decision to push back Starfield. But that had to hurt to have to announce that and say we essentially just riding out the rest of 2022. Hold on for 2023. It's going to be pretty great.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. And it, like I said, I don't, again, going back to Nintendo, I don't really think Nintendo has a problem because everybody else got the same problem.
Right.
there's not going to be any games for a while. And the funny thing is that I don't personally think every gamer that we know is like us and has a massive backlog of games that we could play for the next 30 years. If there was not a new game released, we could play games until we died, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think that's the issue with a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. That being the case, a lot of us aren't feeling bad about that right now. It just is, it's kind of striking to it. So I just pulled up a story from December because I was curious about the biggest games coming in 2022. Of course, you know, this was from the end of last year. And so all the caveats with that, but just I'll list off a handful of them really quick. Rainbow Six Extraction, Pokemon Legends, which is already out, I believe. Dying Light already out. Sifu already out. Horizon Forbidden West already out. Elden Ring already out. Babylon's Fall already out and massive failure. Just awful game apparently. Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, Ghostwire Tokyo, Kirby Forgotten Land, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, Lego Star Wars. Okay, those are ones that are already out. We've already got those. The other ones on here, Redfall, Forspoken, Gotham Knights. Redfall, Gotham Knights already pushed into next year. Starfield already pushed into next year. Stalker 2, I don't know when that's coming out, but that's not a massive game. Lord of the Rings Gollum, not a massive game. There's just Marvel's Midnight Sun. If that came this year, it would be a pretty big deal, but it's not. We're not going to see that. And again, probably not a massive game. Ubisoft's Avatar game. That was one we talked about from E3 last year that we just don't necessarily get. Like, there's just not anything. Breath of the Wild 2 is on the list. Not coming out this year. Push back to next year. There's just nothing left. We've got all the games of this year. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we're going to be catching up for the rest of the year, you know? Like, we've got a lot to get caught up on. But, like, 2022, like, big gaming releases is kind of done. And it's May.
Yeah.
Some big announcement from Nintendo, which is about the only company I can imagine that would do it, that would give us something this holiday. But I don't see like what we're getting this holiday that's knocking our pants off.
And I'd like to feel bad about that, but I think the reason that I don't is because let's be real honest for a second. We got bigger problems in life
sure.
to deal with than like new video games. Yeah. Like, I would like to be shallow and say, you know, man, it really stinks that we're not getting new games this year, but like, there's way bigger problems across the entire world than us not getting a AAA title.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that that's not a popular thing, especially for a gaming podcast to say, but like, we've all got bigger stuff to deal with, right?
Sure.
Like, and so I think that has a lot to do with it. Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, that rationale always exists. Like, I mean, there's obviously a lot going on right now, but there's been a lot going on our whole lives. Like, there's always bad stuff going on. Like, there's economic stuff going on right now. Like, yeah. Inflation's bad, but other parts of the economy are really good. You know, like, lots of people have a job. Right. And so there's always this trade-off. Like, some things look really dire, some things don't look as dire, and that's always going to shift and always be with us. And so to an extent, yes, like, gaming is never the biggest thing that we should care about in the world, obviously. But past that, there's just also a lot of stuff out there that currently exists. Like, there's not a vacuum that needs filled of content, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's just a lot of games that people can play right now. The fact that there's not anything major coming out in the next, you know, 3 months, 5 months, 8 months, whatever, doesn't matter all that much if there's all this stuff that just exists right now. If we were in this, like, and real dearth of gaming content, then it would be a different conversation. But we're just not. Like, we're in a place where we've got stuff.
And granted, we are the wrong guys to talk about this, because I know guys that when they get off work, they go home and they play games for 6 hours every night. Okay? And so they've already gotten through Horizon, they've already gotten through Ratchet and Clank, they're already 50 hours into Elden Ring. And they're looking for whatever the next thing is. So there's more of those people out there than there are of us.
For sure.
And so I understand if you're that person and you have a 9-to-5 job, and that 9-to-5 job takes care of all of your issues, and you're single and you don't have kids, and you, like, gaming is what you do. I understand that it's a drag. But even still, it's a minor drag.
Right. There's still a billion things for you to play. Like, it just, yeah, there's content. If you want to play a game, there's a game for you to play. You're going to find something.
Yeah.
Quickly, a few last things to wrap up here. The National Museum of Play has inducted 4 new games into the Gaming Hall of Fame. Those 4 games are Ms. Pac-Man, Dance Dance Revolution, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and Sid Meier's Civilization. And to me, like, that's a pretty fabulous group. Granted, neither one of us is into Dance Dance Revolution, but it's hard to deny the impact that it has had on the gaming industry. Obviously, very impactful. But Ms. Pac-Man is an arcade title, massive. Sid Meier's Civilization, obviously, kind of a genre-defining game and still relevant today. And then, of course, Ocarina of Time. We could go on and on about that forever. But that is a solid group of games for the Video Game Hall of Fame. I concur 100% on those.
It is. And going back to the last discussion real quick, there's enough games out right now that you could have a Hall of Fame list for the next 20 years of games to discuss.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're at. I don't think we've ever had that as in our lifetime, that there was just so many games that we will never get through them.
Yes. Yeah. The gaming industry, right, is the best right now that has ever been in our lives. And we have been fortunate to come of age in the kind of era of video games. Video games have always been a relevant part of our lives. It is better right now than it's ever been. And I hope that continues to be true. One last thing I'll mention here, because I kind of teased it a little while ago. 2 games that are in development reportedly will be only current gen, meaning PS5, Xbox Series X. Those 2 games are Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2, which Thank you. That's good. And the Gotham Knights game, which, like I mentioned, has been pushed back. They also released some gameplay footage of it, which will be in the show notes if you haven't seen it. I was not impressed by the gameplay footage. Like, it doesn't look PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X generation. Like, it easily looks like it could be a last-gen game. And it just doesn't look that much fun to play yet. And I really want it to be a good game. Like, that's not me just trying to poo-poo on a game. I really want it to be good, and I hope that it is good. But man, that gameplay, that's like 12 minutes of gameplay that I was just like, whatever, you know, like give me Spider-Man. That's much better.
There must be something going around because I've been trying to get this soundbar that we have dialed in sort of kind of before you get here. And I've decided that it's not going to happen until you get here. Because I need another set of ears. I've tinkered with it. And I don't like it. But as part of that, I fired up the Batman.
Nice.
For like an hour the other day. And I need to actually sit down and watch it before I am really, really serious about what I'm about to say, but I watched 30 minutes and I got bored.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally looking at it like, what are we doing here? is this what happens if Batman goes on an emo bender? Like, apparently, like, this is the Batman where he's just starting out and all of the villains are just starting out.
Yeah.
Like there's this dude in like this face mask and he claims to be the Riddler. And I'm going, what is going on here? And like Bruce looks like he's been in a rave for like 6 weeks straight. And his eyes are all sucking. Like it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have to watch it before I say any more, but, like, not impressed.
Fair enough.
And I'm curious to see what you think about it when you see it, but I'm not surprised that was your response to this game coming up. Because, as we've said, it's really hard to do a good superhero game, and it's really easy to screw them up.
Yeah, for sure. So, we've seen lots of bad superhero games, and we've seen a handful of really good ones, and this was one I'm hoping will be good, but we'll see what happens with it. Speaking of releases, we talked about what there is to play out. There are a few things. Euden Chronicle Rising, I'm again butchering the name, I know, but I believe that's from the Suikoden guy, if I'm recalling correctly. It's out and on Game Pass, by the way. So if you've got Game Pass, you can just go download it, which is great. Right. Currently has a 76 on Metacritic. This War of Mine Final Cut, we've mentioned that game a ton, is out. Trek to Yomi, which is a samurai side scroller, black and white, kind of cool looking. I've played just a little bit of it because, again, it's on Game Pass, which is nice. Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, 92. On Metacritic, pretty solid there, which no surprise, Stanley Parable's amazing. Go play that if you haven't played the Stanley Parable. And so not massive titles, but good stuff and plenty of stuff to play out there. And so, yeah, if you're looking for a game, there's games to be played for sure. They may not be the big titles that you're looking for, but there's some really, really solid stuff out there still.
It's like we always say, you got it. To me, video games at this point is a smorgasbord, right? Everybody's going to find something they like.
Yeah.
It may not be the greatest thing ever, but you're going to find something you like. Yeah. And we need more time. That's what we always say. It's still the case.
Yes.
We need more time because we can't play everything that we need to play. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Speaking of time, we need to wrap this up because my doorbell rang twice and various things going on in the background. If you're watching on Patreon, yeah,
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very interesting. There's lights going out. There's things going on.
You get
on.
Behind it's the scenes view of the whole thing. It's
yeah.
It's super glamorous what we do here.
Yeah. That's we might have a studio space that's devoted to this before we die. And I think that room is in this house somewhere. But it's not done yet. It won't be till you get here. So, yeah, there's that. If you're not watching on Patreon, come watch us on Patreon and watch all the crazy crap that happens behind us.
Yeah.
Because it really is kind of a circus.
Probably as entertaining as listening to us talk. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Go for it. GamingUncensored.com.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And I have to mention the Facebook page because you brought up the Facebook page earlier. There's always something interesting, on the Facebook page, including another podcast still posting on our Facebook page.
Yes.
and I think some of our guys are getting a little annoyed because I noticed that some of that content has been flagged.
Yeah.
By one of our guys, like, this does not belong here. And so I'm really kind of trying to figure out what to do here because, you know, yeah. it's an interesting problem to have. So, yeah, basically the entirety of this show and everything around it is this whole subject.
Yes.
So,
which I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes, that's correct. So come watch the circus. We're glad you're here. We hope you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing. We don't know why you do, but we hope you do. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.